Good morning. You may not believe this, but we just got through the difficult part of the sermon for an older preacher. You have a tendency to say good evening, and everybody laughs. So just want you to know we got by that, all right? We are thankful for the visitors we have. It's always a wonderful blessing for people to stop by and worship with us and our brethren. We pray they have a safe journey. We have some here that have been ill lately, and we have many that are ill in our congregation, like all congregations. Brother Malcolm has been mentioned. For those that are visiting, Brother Malcolm is one of our hard-working elders, and he's been out for some time and has gone through open heart surgery and a valve replacement, and we're thankful to God that he's with us this morning, and Todd and Heather as well. So we're glad you're here. We're going to study this morning from the book of James the subject, What is Your Life? And I hope that you can come back this evening. We're going to cover approximately half the lesson. I'm going to read the points for you that are not able to come tonight for whatever reason. Number one, the world teaches that life is just a business. This is in James chapter 4. The world teaches that life is just a set plan. And actually, in the context, our brethren were doing that. But James, number 3, teaches that life is uncertain. James teaches, number 4, that life is short. James teaches, number 5, that life is in the hand of God. And number 6, James teaches that life is an opportunity to do good. So we have quite a bit of wisdom in the book of James. Bible students refer to the book of James as the Proverbs in the New Testament. Is a book of great wisdom, and a book that deals with true religion and undefiled before God and the Father. And I encourage all to read this book, even this week. It's been a while since you read it. I encourage you to read it. I found out over the years that every time I say that, someone will go home and do it. They will go home and do it. Just 5 chapters. Just 5 chapters. You got a whole week. So I encourage you to read it. We want to look at the passage now, as Brother Chuck has put it on the screen for me, and I thank him very much. It was somewhat short notice, but Chuck always comes through. Sometimes I tell him a little late, and I always say, if you don't have time to do this, or you have to stay with your wife because she's sick, I tell him, don't worry about it. Stay. We've got Bibles. I hope you have your Bible, and if you don't, there's one in the pew. Look in the Bible. But this is nice that we can put it up in such large letters. James chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. As I read this, I want you to listen carefully. I was reading from a sermon last night, and he was talking about our worship to God. And basically the idea that he had was it's not like you're sitting out there watching a football game. But when we have a sermon, why, we participate in it. The hearers participate in it. And so I encourage you to look at this carefully. Try to think about it as we go through it. James says in James 4, beginning with verse 13, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That last passage, since I know some are definitely traveling, not going to be here probably this evening, I want to say something about verse 17 there. therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I guess I know that I'm slow at times, but in reading about this, one of the preachers had written a lesson on James, and it had to do, he said, that this was dealt with neglect. I think that's an excellent word. Just think about it. If you know to do good, and you don't do it, it's sin. So it deals with neglecting to do the good that we know to do. I don't know about you, but if that's what I got out of this sermon, that would help me a great deal. There are some basic concepts in the book of James about what is your life. And we want to look at the first one. I worded it, the world teaches that life is just business, but it's clear James is talking to members of the church, all right? Members of the church get involved with worldly things. It's just the way that it is. It was that way in the time of Christ. It's that way today. And James says in verse 13, go do now. I understand that to mean that you ought to live and think about now. And then he says, ye that say today or tomorrow. Now, sometimes people will say, I'm going to do this today. And sometimes people are going to say, I'm going to do this tomorrow. That's not wrong to say that, as long as in your heart and in your soul and in your mind, you realize that if the Lord will. You may have something to do this afternoon. You may or may not do it. You may have something to do tomorrow. You may or may not do it. I may or may not do it. When we leave on Sunday morning, and I guess some of you will laugh at it, but we got a little Chihuahua dog, and she gets real lonely sitting there on my seat, and I'll pet her, and she looks like she's ready to cry, and I say, Patches, I word it so she can understand it, Patches, we're going to church. Lord willing, we'll be back. I know she doesn't understand it, but I think it's important for us to have that in our hearts. We don't know. So he says, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. You know, that's a lot of assumptions, isn't it? Now, you got to remember, there's nothing wrong with planning a business. Some of you maybe are in small business. Some of you may work for small business. Some of you may start up small businesses. I've always admired those that take a challenge of small business. And I will throw this in. I hope you make that $1 billion, okay? I hope you make that successful. There's nothing wrong with making a profit in this world as long as you use it for God's service. These people now want to limit it. And I notice they limit it up there, but I'll tell you, if these people get elected, they just keep dropping that down, then they're going to get me and you as well. I think we understand that. But they got this all planned. They're going to go to such a city. Let's say, okay, I'm going to go tomorrow to Memphis. I'm going to Memphis. And you know what? When I go to Memphis, I've decided I'm going to live there and stay there for an entire year. Well, that's a real plan, isn't it? And what I'm going to do, I'm going to buy. There's a difference between buying and selling, right? I'm going to buy, and I'm going to sell. And guess what? I'm going to make gain. I'll tell you right now, That's quite some kind of successful story, isn't it? But they're not saying, if the Lord will, we shall do this or that. You're here this morning because it was God's will. Oh, I know you had a part in it, but you couldn't make it from your home or from your travels here without God's providence. Matter of fact, you wouldn't be here without God being with you. He was with you when you were born. You'd not been born had it not been for the will and the blessing of God. Everybody here is here for a purpose. Everybody on the earth is here for a purpose. The purpose in life is to glorify God. That's it. Don't be confused with all the things of the world. Business is all right as long as it's in its place. In Exodus 20:3, in the first of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. No other gods. Well, some can make a god out of business. You say, well, how can you do that? Well, Paul says on one occasion there that covetousness, which is idolatry, you get to idolize in the money. And some people idolize the honor and success in this world. But all of those things are insignificant in reference to going to heaven. You don't have to have a whole lot to go to heaven, right? You might not have anything. Jesus, by the devil, was offered all the kingdoms of the world. In my judgment, that was a lie because he didn't have that to give. But he's a liar and the father of it, John 8:44. But Jesus answered him. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The devil wants people to worship him. Do not give your life and your soul to the devil. Trust God, no matter what the situation is. And Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:24, No man, you got that? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and Mammon. Mammon was a Syriac god of treasure. So basically, he's just saying you can't have two masters. You have to make a choice. You can serve money, or you can serve God. And I would encourage our young people, I don't know that this will happen with you, but it may very well happen to you that you have to make a choice sometime between being honest or getting another job. I would not be surprised if that happens. And when you have that choice, if you're a Christian, you don't have to worry about it. Your choice already made. That you're going to do what's right. You're going to be honest regardless of what the boss says. As Christians, we have treasure up in heaven. I don't know what all is up there, do you? I don't know. It's not like money down here in the bank. It's not physical treasures. But in the Sermon on the Mount there in Matthew 6, just prior to the verse that we just read, 6:24, Jesus said, Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Now he's not saying that you couldn't have a savings account or a checking account or something like that, but you don't lay up treasures. People just keep laying it up and never satisfied, never content. But he says, Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. I don't know. I would suppose that many of you have had things stolen. I've had several things stolen, and that's always a hard thing. I haven't had too much damage from moth, but I've had enough that I don't like it. Do you like that? Yeah, they get in there and plant those little eggs in there, and the next thing you know, you got a nice coat, and you look down, and it's got a hole in it. That's the way it is in this world, but he says, you lay up your treasure in heaven. And he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We can reverse that and say, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Well, he says in verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. Everybody here looks like you're looking at me. Light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. I would understand single is sort of like your eyes working well. We know there are blind people in the world. One of my best friends growing up was blind. And I understand blindness. And if you're blind, the light cannot get into your body. So he says, if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. I understand now what he's saying is we have another eye. We have a spiritual eye. The physical eye, if it's bad, you'll have a body of darkness. The same is true with the spiritual eye. If you're just laying up treasures on this earth, if that's your intent, if that's what you're doing, and you're not serving God, then you're going to be lost. And he said, therefore, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? There's an exclamation mark after it. It's not a question as such, but it's an exclamation mark. It is a great darkness if you have darkness in your soul. So what do we say? We say the Bible teaches that God must be first. Spiritual matters must be first. Now that's individual responsibility. I can't do that for you. You can't do that for me. You can't do it for your loved ones. I can't do it for my loved ones. That's a responsibility. I thought of this scripture about this, the book of Haggai, in chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. I know you don't quote from Haggai all the time, but Haggai was one of the prophets that was at the time of the rebuilding of the temple. You remember that after the 70 years of Babylon, that about 50,000 some went back and into the land, and they got into the land, and of course Jerusalem had been destroyed, the temple had been destroyed, so they started looking after themselves and building houses. They needed a place to stay, but they didn't need to leave the temple go for like between 15 and 16 years. They just forgot about God's work. You got to remember that in the Old Testament, the temple was the center of the religion. Well, the temple today is the church. If the church is not important to you, so you need to make some fast adjustments real soon, very soon. And Haggai, in chapter 1, we read in verse 1, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, high priest. This is interesting to me. He doesn't at first address the nation. You know who he's talking to? He's talking to the governor, and he's talking to the high priest. He's talking to the leadership. That's a good place to begin, isn't it? He's talking to the leadership. What do leaders do? Leaders lead. They lead the flock. So he says, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. It's not time yet. What do we call that? Procrastination? Lord, I'm going to do this. I need to do this. And I guess we all do it sometimes. Procrastination. I don't have time. Sometimes you don't have time. Sometimes your schedule's so filled up you don't have the time. But I would encourage all to be careful about procrastinating. Do what you can while you can for as long as you can. Many preachers I know have said that. The teaching is in the Bible. The people saying that the time has not come. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? I'm not positive what the sealed house was, but generally the ideal is some kind of paneling. It's a nice house. Nice houses, all right? And they've had a long time here. I said, I would say between 15 and 16 years. I know some say 16, some say 15, some say 14. I say roughly 15 to 16 years. And they were fixing up. The houses were fixed up. They were comfortable. Maybe you have a comfortable house. I do not know. On rare occasions, we've had to live in a few that weren't as comfortable as others. I suppose some of you have done that. But he says, now therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now this is what we have to do in reference to the book of James. He said, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we're going to such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. And we just have to think about that when we make a plan, put God as being over the plan. God is over the plan. God is with you in the plan. Don't plan anything without God, because God is supreme. In verse 6, he says, and they didn't think about this, I'm certain, but now the prophet's telling them, they might have had nice houses, but things are not going well. He says, you have sown much and bring in little. I wonder how that happened. Ye eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe ye, ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages, earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Huh? How'd you like to have money? I'd guess some of us, I know I'm slower than most people, but unfortunately I have had a hole in the pocket and lost change. I don't think I ever lost a dollar bill like that, but you don't want to have a put your money in a bag that's got a hole in it. That means whatever they were making is just going out faster, just falling out of the bag. Well, that could happen today. So for the second time, he says, thus saith the Lord of hosts. This is the Almighty, eternal God who created the heaven and the earth and the whole universe. And he says, this is what the Lord says. Consider your ways. Think about it a little bit. Think about your ways. We all have ways, correct? You have ways. I have ways. Everybody has ways. He said, now you consider your life. You consider your ways. Sort of like James. Go up to the mountain and bring wood. Here's the solution. And build the house. And I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because mine house that is waste, and ye run every man to his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. Things not going well. You don't put God in your plan. God needs to be in our plans. You know you're in God's plan. Every single person is in God's plan. Because Jesus died for us. And oh, he died. What a horrible death. What humiliation and suffering and pain the Lord went through for you and for me. You're in the plan. Now you need to become a child of God. God needs to be first in your life. He says in verse 11, I called for a drought upon the land, upon the mountains, and upon the corn, upon the new wine, upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hand. So Haggai, a great prophet of the Lord, he's given, thus said the Lord, is what God said. The purpose of man, in one sentence, is to glorify God. That's your purpose in life. That's my purpose in life. Maybe you have neglected that. To him that knoweth to do good, to him it is sin. If you neglect something, do what is right. God gave us a conscience. A conscience helps us. It tells us what we believe is right. And when it tells you that this is the truth, because it's God's word, then you follow your conscience. You must maintain a good conscience. You do that by listening to it when you hear God's word. Life is more than business and personal business as well. Matthew 6 and 33, we would have to say this. Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are all those other things? Those are things everybody worried about. Housing, food, clothing, cars, whatever. Everybody's got so many worries. He said, no, you put me first. Now, you'll go through struggles. You'll have difficulties. Every child of God has sufferings and afflictions that make us ready for heaven, get us ready to go to a better world that we sang about. But put God first. God will take care of those things. Put God first. That brings us to the world teaches and these brethren that is kind of a set plan. This, I'm going to continue there a year and buy and sell, get gained. A long time ago, I went to school in Memphis, Tennessee. I started about really 55 years ago. And after I went there for a while, I don't remember, maybe 6 months, and got to driving to Arkansas and preaching. And I would drive all that way to Arkansas. And I remember a man lived across the street from a little church building. I mean, we were small. We had a dozen people. That was a big crowd. He lived across and had 9 children. And on occasion, every one of those children would, you talk about exciting, they would come, and usually it was the mother. The husband may have come one time, I'm not certain, but usually the mother would bring them. And he asked the whole church over, all 12 of us, and he cooked for us. He said, we're going to have a get-together. And I remember I went there, and he had chickens in one place, and he had hogs in the pen in another place. I felt like I was kind of like with the rich man. And he's looking at all these things, said, I'm going to build this, and I'm going to do that. And we got through making a circle and came back to everybody. I said, I hope you can do all that. I said, you remind me of someone that's in the Bible. And it's in Luke chapter 12. And I said that the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. I'm really concerned. What am I going to do? He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. You know, it sounded like he had a good piece of land. But he must have been pretty rich to pull down his barns. And then what am I going to do? I'm going to have all place to store everything. And I will say to my soul, though, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and marry. Do you know you talk to yourself, right? You talk to your soul. Now, sometimes it may not be just out loud. I'd say we do at times, talk to ourselves out loud. I think you've got problems. You start answering yourself. But we talk to ourselves. I say, I'm going to say to my soul, I've got all these goods. Oh, I'm going to live many years. I've got it made. But God said unto him, thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. We all have the ability to lay up for God and to do God's will. Everybody here can do something. You may be sick. You may have to stay at home all the time. You can send a card. You can make a phone call. If you could, sometimes, maybe you can visit, but do what you can. You don't want to die unprepared to meet the Lord. Now, James teaches that life is uncertain. I would say about everybody realizes that here, even the young people, right? You young people, we got one that's shaking his head. He hadn't got there yet, all right? But you got to watch what you say about the younger people. The younger people now, I'm talking about high school and things like that, okay? And you realize life is uncertain, that you don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen on tomorrow. But we know God's going to be there, do we not? We know who holds tomorrow. God holds tomorrow. So James, Peter says this, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So he's pleading, we are pilgrims, we are strangers. What does that mean? We're just passing through. Now I speak to the older ones. Doesn't it seem like just a few moments and you were young? Just a few moments? Now you younger ones are listening to me. But after the older generation, after we go on, you younger people are going to remember this. You're going to remember it because it's in the book. Life is uncertain. Life is short. It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Before you know it, your life will be gone. Live a godly life. Live a good life. Live the Christian life. Now, we sing this song. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. We're just passing through. It's a very short while. And the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. In studying for this lesson this past week, and actually even beyond that, in studying for it, I came across an illustration I thought was good, and it was about an insurance man. And it turned out this insurance man was told, you got 6 weeks to live. Now, that would be something, wouldn't it? 6 weeks to live. Well, guess what he did? He started changing things right away. He got to thinking about what is your life? 6 weeks to live. The good news was that they made a mistake. Can you imagine that? Sure would be thanking the good Lord. But he did make changes. And that reminded me of an insurance man that I had. We bought an insurance policy. And I never will forget that he was so healthy. And he would come by from time to time and go over any changes or whatever. But he would come by from time to time. And he was a runner. He did a lot of exercise. I'm certain he did all these things. And I called one day to check on my insurance. And I asked for him. And he said, oh, he doesn't work for us anymore. They said he died. Well, that kind of hit me because I liked him and he just seemed so healthy. But the truth is that we do die and we don't know when it's going to be. So we say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. This morning, if you are not living the Christian life, we encourage you. Surely, every adult here believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Surely you believe that, and that's why you're here. But the devil doesn't bother him because you're not saved by faith alone. Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And God has told all men everywhere to repent because there's a day of judgment that's coming, the last day, John 12 and 48. So you have to repent. You have to change your life, change your heart, turn away from sin, be willing to confess that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and be buried with your Lord in baptism. It's very clear for those that believe the Bible, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So, oh, preacher, you mean I have to be baptized? Jesus said you do it to be saved. He said, he that believeth and is baptized. You know, if he just said, he that believeth and shall be saved, and after that should be baptized, it would fit these preachers on the television. But he didn't say that. He said, he that believeth and baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. If you're an erring child of God, you come back home. And we will pray with you, for you, as we stand and as we sing.